you know, it's a sense in which my family and I this year get to be sort of spectators at during Advent and Christmas at Cokesbury. We've never experienced Advent or Christmas at Cokesbury before, and so we're looking forward to that. And all that that entails, I want you just to look around you and see how the church has begun to put on its Advent and Christmas look. And there are lots and lots of people who want zero credit, who are behind the scenes and who are making that happen. And to all of you, you servants, who came up here, I think it was Friday, and have been up here on and off, thank you for all that you've done to help make this place beautiful for this season. Yes. I'm looking forward to the visit from Santa. You know what? As I arrived here, I started hearing all about the things that are going on here, and I'm looking forward to, is it December the 7th, I think is what they said? December the 7th is our evening with Santa. I'm looking forward to that. Bring your family, bring your children. We would love to have you as we spend time with Santa that evening. Well, today's passage comes from the Gospel according to St. John. Just a little background information. The Gospel writers all saw the birth of Jesus in a different way. Any parent, anyone who has more than one child knows that no two children see things the same way. No two people see things the same way. The Gospel writers saw the birth of Jesus in different ways. If you look at the Gospel of Matthew, Matthew is interested in the lineage of Jesus. You'll read things in Matthew like, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so-and-so begat so-and-so, and so and that that's just the lineage of Jesus. In the South, we would say, who he's kin to. This is who he's kin to. So Matthew is very, very interested in the lineage of Jesus. Not surprising, because Matthew's general personality is that of a teacher. In the Gospel of Mark, no lineage, no birth like stars and angels and that sort of thing. Mm-mm. No, Mark basically bypasses the birth of Jesus. It just begins like a drama. If you read the Gospel of Mark, you won't find out a lot about the birth of Jesus, but you will definitely experience the dramatic moments of his. In the Gospel of Luke, Luke is the physician. Don't ever forget that, right? Luke is the physician, and Luke says, in those days, there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first done. Luke is very interested in details. I want my doctor to be interested in details, don't you? Well, Luke is interested in details. Luke also wrote the book of Acts, but Luke is interested in details. The Gospel of John is strange. It's just strange. There's a reason they call them the synoptics, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, because John is nothing like them. John sees the coming of Jesus in an almost apocalyptic kind of way. He sees it in an ethereal kind of way. He talks about the birth of Jesus in terms of light and darkness and the Word, capital W, becoming flesh. That's how Luke talks about it. So today, we're reading from the Gospel according to St. John. I want to lift out two verses, one from the first chapter, verse 5, and then the eighth chapter, verse 12. The isolated verses. This is the Word of God, the authority of God, and the Gospel. Will you please stand for its reading? The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. See, light and dark. And then if you turn over to the eighth chapter, again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. My dear friends, today you and I join hands and hearts with millions of people all over the world on this day as we usher in the season of Advent, the time of preparation for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, the babe born at Bethlehem who would quite literally change the world. That's Jesus. And so we come to this experience every year, but that being said, sometimes, I'm afraid that we've experienced Advent so much that we really don't experience it much anymore. You know how you can get used to something and you really don't appreciate it as much, maybe? I think sometimes we've experienced Advent so much that we don't experience it as much. It's just sort of the same old, right? Advent. But year after year, we're called to this obscure little village where, once again, we recall the birth of the King, the one who was prophesied about in the Old Testament. We will celebrate the light. But we will also celebrate the night that God strolled down the stairway of heaven and came to visit us in the form of a baby. We call that the incarnation. The Word became flesh. God came for a visit, and the weary world rejoices. That's what the old hymn says. This season also serves to remind us that Jesus, just as he came once, he's going to come again. Just as Jesus came as a baby, he will come again. The Bible makes that abundantly clear. Sometimes you'll hear terms like the second advent. When you hear that, you need to know that it reminds us that the first time Jesus came, he came as Savior, but the next time he will come as Judge. That's what your Bible teaches. So you and I stand in the in-between time, what's known as the liminal time, the time between what was and what is to come. We celebrate God coming in Jesus, but we also anticipate his coming again. Advent and the second advent, when you start hearing those terms, understand that they all refer to Jesus coming. But this year, I'd like to ask if you would help me. This year, I'd like to ask if you might have the courage to look with me a little bit at Advent in a different way. I wonder if you might be courageous enough this year to pay attention to the darkness, at least for a little while. And I know it's hard. Because there are lights, light everywhere. Everywhere we go in this season, there's light. I know it's hard, and singing and music and choirs and Christmas movies, it's a wonderful life. So why in the world would the preacher start with a conversation about darkness? I suppose the only answer I can give you, the only ground upon which I can stand and talk about darkness in a season of light, is the ground of Holy Scripture and the ground of human experience. You see, the Bible acknowledges and sometimes even invites the darkness. All throughout Scripture, from Genesis to Revelation, you hear about various forms of darkness, but darkness all the same. It is in your Bible. The Bible doesn't dare ignore darkness, for it is into the darkness that the light has come. Have you ever noticed that the birth of Jesus is celebrated every year at the darkest time? Look at your calendar. John, the gospel writer, tells us the light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. I was thinking again this week about a friend of mine who told of having an Air Force officer come to speak at his church. It was the monthly men's club meeting. The men's club met once a month. They'd have breakfast and they'd have a speaker. And on this particular Sunday, they had a speaker who was going to speak on the subject modern technology in nighttime combat. And he brought with him a pair of night vision goggles. And he explained how those night vision goggles help you see in the dark. And after the program was over, several of the men went into a completely darkened room. At least they thought it was darkened because you couldn't see your hand in front of your face. And they each took turns looking through those night vision goggles. And guess what they were able to see? They were stunned at how well they could see, even in the darkness. My friend made this observation. He said, "I don't understand that principle upon which the night vision goggles works, but it's obvious to me that they pick up and concentrate on the unseen light in the darkness." They pick up and they concentrate on the unseen light in the darkness. Is that really true? Is there light even in darkness? It certainly seems to me, maybe not you, but it seems to me like everywhere I turn these days, you just see the darkness of all that's going on in the world. You turn on the television, you look on your computer, you look everywhere and you see all that stuff out there. There is darkness, and the Bible acknowledges that, so we're not going to ignore that, because darkness gets stronger when you don't call it out. I said, darkness gets stronger when you don't call it out. But you know, there are some things that you'll never understand until you see them in the dark. I want you to follow me as we go down into the weeds a little here. Some of the most treasured wisdom we have has come out of the crucible of dark places in our lives. Ask anyone to tell you about the important lessons they've learned, and chances are they'll begin to tell you a story of difficulty or hardship or tragedy or brokenness or hurt. Most of the good things we know, we learn from some of the most difficult and darkest days in our lives. I have to tell you, I am always shocked when I realize the extent to which almost everything I know, I learned from some of the most trying and tragic and difficult experiences of my life. The Bible over and over and over again talks about this subject. But the second reason we need to talk about it, the Bible talks about it, the second reason we need to talk about it is because darkness is part of the personal human experience. And it comes to us in so many different ways, doesn't it? Life can be going fine. You're flitting through life and all is going fine, and all of a sudden something can happen and things can change on a dime. Do you understand that that can happen? A job, marriage, health, children, finances, death of a loved one, and on we could go. I know so many people who in the last year have experienced firsthand what St. John of the Cross called the dark night of the soul. And if we're not careful, and maybe even more so in the Advent and Christmas season, if we're not careful, we can begin to experience some darkness, some sadness, and some depression. Because for whatever reason, Christmas always turns up the volume on whatever your basic personality is. I'm going to say that again. For whatever reason, Christmas always turns up the volume on what your basic personality is. Now, what does that mean? That means that if you tend to be a joyful, happy, pretty much always in a good mood type person, Christmas is going to turn the volume up on that. But if you're one of those people, if you're one of those persons for whom Christmas is not a holly jolly time, the volume with that will get turned up as well. Because now listen to this. Christians get depressed. Non-Christians get depressed. Young people get depressed. The elderly, especially the elderly who live alone, get depressed. Men get depressed. Women get depressed. People who are not famous and people who are well known experience it. Darkness and a sense of darkness around you visits everyone on some level at some point. I have a little book in my library. It's entitled, now I have learned, be careful what books I recommend to people, but this one I do want to recommend to you. I have a little book in my library entitled Understanding and Loving a Person Who is in the Dark. It's written by Stephen Arterburn and Brenda Hunter. Because the difficulty we have in the church is that we have been told, if you're a real Christian, you won't ever get depressed. I mean, if you're really a person who has true faith in God, you can just bounce back. You know, what's that old saying? Accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, just turn it over to the Lord and rejoice. If you're truly a follower of Jesus, you won't get into those dark places in the church. In the church, and I point to myself here because I'm part of it. In the church, we've either been guilty of saying nothing or sending the message to Christians that darkness and feelings of difficulty can't touch a person of true faith in God. But there are lots of problems with that, my friends. Not the least of which is the Bible doesn't support it. The Bible doesn't support it. In fact, the Bible is filled with encounters and occasions where men and women of deep faith, men and women who were warriors of God, towering personalities of Holy Scripture, came to difficult and dark places in life. Abraham, Jonah, Job, Elijah, King Saul, David, you could go on and on and on. To be a follower of Jesus Christ does not, let's go on the record and say this and make it clear, to be a follower of Jesus Christ does not exempt you from darkness and difficulty. It just doesn't. So what do we say? If we have the courage in the Advent season to at least acknowledge the reality of this, what shall we say? Is there any word of hope to those who look around us and see all the happiness and the cheer and the joy, and for whatever reason, they're not at that place? I'm going to say this one more time. I said it earlier in the message. There are people sitting all around you right now, and many who are listening by Facebook. There are many people around you for whom the last year has been a real challenge. If you had told them on January 1, 2022, all this stuff was going to happen, no. But somewhere throughout the year, something came at them from out of left field, a haymaker, some kind of blow hit them. They're all around us. So what do we say to people who just aren't at that place? Or do you know someone or know of someone who, for whatever reason today, is just struggling at a difficult, challenging time? I just want to offer a couple of thoughts to you about that. And I just want to say right up front, I have a degree in psychology, but I am not a psychologist. I am not a psychiatrist. I will tell you what a few years of doing this kind of work has taught me. First of all, when a person is going through darkness and difficulty in life, telling them to just get over it doesn't help. You know what I mean by that? You just need to get over it. Come on. Get over that. Just get over it. The message you send when you say that to someone is, you're weak. You need to move on. And I get it. I get it. There comes a period where you need to emerge, but there are some people who are submerged. Just telling somebody who's going through a challenging time, trust the Lord, all is going to be fine, just get over it. And by the way, the people who are going through challenging, difficult, darkness stuff, they want to get beyond it. Most people don't like to, and I said this word last week, most people don't like to just wallow in it. They want to get on with life. But when a person is going through a difficult time, telling them to just get over it doesn't help. Second thing I want to say to you about that is, when a person is going through a difficult and challenging time, condemnation and judgment never help. Condemnation and judgment never help. I don't know why it's so, but Christians have become very proficient at shooting our wounded. I don't know why that's so. But condemnation and judgment doesn't help. Now, sometimes, listen carefully, sometimes people are at a dark place because of choices they've made. I get that. But I would suggest to you that condemnation and judgment almost never help when a person is experiencing what the Bible calls the miry pit. The third thing I want to say to you about it is, when a person is going through a challenging and difficult time, choose that you will love through the darkness all the way back to light. You're in it for the marathon. Whatever life brings, now I need to be careful here, don't I? Sometimes a person may be at such a deep and dark place that they place you or someone you love in danger. Now, you don't need to be in that kind of situation. Loving from a distance sometimes is the best thing you can do. I get that. But there's one other thing I want you to hear today about this subject, and I offered this to you personally. Sometimes we can hear a message and say, wow, I sure wish so-and-so had heard that message. I've actually seen people in church like elbow someone and say, are you listening? Pay attention. Pay attention. Are you listening? Sometimes in the church we can think, gosh, so-and-so needs to hear that. No, this is for you, Christians. This is for me. Because in your sphere of influence, in your realm of influence, not everybody is happy. Not everybody is joyful. Now, you're going to see one of the things that this season is going to reveal about me is that I kind of enjoy this season. I really look forward to it. But I have had to learn as a pastor over time, just because I'm at one place doesn't mean everybody else is. So I just want to say a couple of personal things to you. If you are at a personally, or at a dark place, do not isolate yourself. Reach out. Don't turn inward. Find friends. Seek Christian counseling. You know what? Maybe you've observed this too. I've observed that often when a person is going through a difficult time, you know what they do? They isolate themselves. They step back and they pull back. And what do then? They just live or exist in the darkness of all that. All I'm saying to you is resist the temptation to just isolate. Find someone you can talk to. Find some kind of counseling. I'm gonna go out on a limb here. But I'm going to make you an offer, okay? I'm going to make you an offer. If during this season you begin to feel at a dark place, if you can't find friends to reach out to, friends that you trust, if you can't find a Christian counselor, I want to invite you to call me. You say, well, preacher, I don't have your telephone number. Well, I can guarantee you there are enough people who do that they can get that for you. And if not, you can always call the church, because all this will be out there now that it's out there. Here's what I promise you. I promise you that I will listen to you and I will pray with you. Sometimes what people need is not someone to fix them. Sometimes what they need is someone to just listen to them. So all I'm saying to you is, if during this season that would help, I just want you to know, I want you to know you don't have to isolate. The second thing I would say is, don't make any permanent decisions to what is likely a temporary season in your life. Whatever you're facing, whatever you're feeling, know this: it will pass, the darkness will lift. But if you're feeling off balance right now, don't make permanent decisions. Delay those decisions if you can. Because making permanent decisions at unsteady times can be a real challenging thing. Third, and I said this a couple of weeks ago, don't forget in the darkness what you learned in the light. Don't forget in the darkness what you learned in the light. My friends, the same God you said was faithful in the light when things were better is still faithful when things are dark. Do you believe that? The same God you said you trusted in the light when things were happier is trustworthy in the dark. The Bible uses language like, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. We're in the Advent season, and there's light all around us. I just want to invite you to be sensitive to people around you, but I also want you to know, if you are experiencing any of this kind of stuff, there is hope, and there are people who will listen to you. Because I have seen too many tragic endings to people who felt they were alone. I want you to know that's not so. You're not. I want you to know it's not so. Now, that being said, for the rest of this season, guess what I'm going to talk about? Happier things. Because I really love this season. I've just grown to know that not everybody's at the same place. And I just want you to know it's okay. It's okay. You are where you are. I just want to invite you to know that there are people who will help navigate you through that stuff. You don't have to stay there.